From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the House passes a debt ceiling bill and a look at how to deal with Pride Month. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Last week, House Speaker McCarthy claimed a victory in the debt ceiling showdown, but not everyone was happy with the bill. And it passed the House with a lot of Democrat support, which should tell you everything you need to know. Joining Tony on Thursday to talk about the bill was Representative Mark Alford of Missouri.
Congressman Alford, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. Just flew in from D.C. We're in our office in Raymore, Missouri.
Well, I think I'm glad you got there in time to join us. You joined 70 of your Republican colleagues in the House voting against the spending bill last night. Tell us why.
Look, I promised when I ran for this office, started running almost 2 years ago, that I would listen to the will of the people, that this is not going to be about Mark Alford. This is going to be about what they want. And it was very clear that even though we paid the Limit, Save, Grow Act, which did raise the debt ceiling $1.5 trillion, it was going to save a lot of money for the taxpayers. We were going to claw back some big things. We were going to get rid of the 87,000 IRS agents sent to harass everyday American people. Those things did not happen. We went from a one-year deal to a two-year deal, and it raised the debt ceiling another $4 trillion. 13% higher than what we're at now, which is ridiculous. We surveyed 50,000 of our constituents. We had numerous phone calls coming into all three of our congressional offices. I listened to them. I made the tough choice to vote no on this for the future of America.
As I mentioned at the top of the program, President Biden gave the commencement address at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado earlier today. I want to play the clip again of what he had to say, essentially saying diversity is what makes us strong. It's what makes the world admire us. Play clip number 8, please.
We also recognize that with every step we've taken to harness the full diversity of our nation, to tap more of our indomitable American spirit, our armed forces have only grown stronger, more effective, and more admired.
So is our nation's military stronger today?
No. We have great people in the military. We need more great people in the military. We are not reaching our recruitment goals. The Marine Corps was the only branch of our military to do that last year. We have a young population. Only 9% has any interest in joining the military because the progressive woke liberal side of our country has so demonized America, has so demonized our founding fathers, our flag, for what we stand for, that we are not a nation under the protection and providence of God, that we're just human beings who evolved. And so there's no precious consideration for America anymore. There's no patriotism in a lot of families. We have families now who are veterans who are now telling their children and grandchildren, don't worry about serving in the military because it's not what it used to be. Yeah. Somehow, Tony, we've got to recapture that. We have to instill pride back in our country.
Yeah,
we have to take back the minds and the hearts and the souls of our young people. We also have to rebuild our military. China is outpacing us at every turn. If you look at comparisons from 1999 and the weapons that they had in missiles, tanks, ships, and in space, it's pretty much equivalent to where we were then. By 2025, they are outpacing us at a multiple of at least 10. We do not have the money being invested now should we have to repel them or deter them if they were to invade Taiwan. And the budget that the president came out with this year, we laughed at that because that was not nearly enough to build our military in what we should be. And yet that's the number pretty much that was decided in this deal that was cut and that we voted on and the House passed and is now before the Senate. A 1% raise in spending in year 2025. And when you figure into inflation, it's actually a cut of probably up to 5%, a 5% cut in our military. We can do better than that.
So, Congressman, let's talk about that because you serve on the House Armed Services Committee, And there's another bite at the apple, so to speak, with the National Defense Authorization Act that really kind of dictates the policy and how money is going to be spent in the military. There's a lot of this money, somewhere between $100 million, $150 million. I know that's pocket change to some when we're talking about trillions. But that's going to the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. I mean, we could just reroute a lot of this money to stuff that is detracting from the military's mission and put it back into its core mission. Could we not?
We certainly could, Tony. You remember when we were growing up and the news stories about the $1,000 hammers that the Department of Defense was spending?
Right,
and the how gold that toilet was exposed. Seats. Yeah, the toilet seats. We are wasting money on these programs. Our strength as a nation is in our commonality. It is not in our diversity. I told that to Secretary of Defense Austin. I told that to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs when they testified before that, and they couldn't really disagree with that. When you go across the Potomac there and you walk amongst the white gravestones of the brave men and women who gave everything to fight for our nation, to die for our nation, and you look down, you can't tell the color of their skin and you can't tell what pronoun they use because the enemy doesn't care. And we shouldn't either. We are a nation built on our unity. And it's what we have in common that we should be celebrating.
You know, it's interesting, Congressman, you bring that up, because if you look at what's divided our nation, it's the identity politics. That's what's divided our nation. And now they're seeking to replicate that in our nation's military, where if there's one place we need cohesion, it's in our military. Having, you know, as a veteran working in a small group, a squad in the Marine Corps, you have to work together. They're dividing us with this identity politics, and they're forcing it on the very individuals, as you said, that are predisposed to go into the military but won't because they're now perceiving it to be hostile to their values.
Tony, there's a reason they call it a uniform. You wore one proudly. I never did. I'm doing what I can now to help save America. But that uniform is a symbol of pride, but it's also a symbol that it's not about the individual in that uniform. It is the pride that they have in wearing the colors on the arm and the pride they have in their heart serving their nation. Until we get back to where we are truly uniform, we are not going to be the fighting nation that we need to be to deter China and possibly, God forbid, if we go to war with them, to have to beat them. We've got to wake up.
Final question for you, Congressman Alford. You've mentioned China, and I want to ask you straight on. And I mean, obviously, I know you cannot share any information that is not publicly out there, any classified information. But how concerned are you when it comes to China and the growing threat there?
Tony, I'm very concerned. This is new to me. I ran for office. I got elected in Congress. I go in after orientation, after I'm sworn in, I get top secret SCI clearance. I go into these skiffs and my jaw, I'm trying to keep it from dropping as I'm hearing actually what's going on. And I don't want to overblow my importance in all this, but God put me here for a reason. And I think part of it's to be almost like a John the Baptist, to try to warn people, to try to tell people what's coming. We have the China Select Committee. We have other committees that are delving into the very specifics of the threat from China. They are in everything we do here in America. Our cheap computers, our Wi-Fi systems, our drones, the naval ports that we have, shipyards. They're in the cranes in most of the shipyards. They have their cameras, they have their ears, they have balloons flying over unimpeded that flew almost directly right over this office in Raymore and over Whiteman Air Force Base, home of the B-2 bomber, which we represent. We've got to wake up. We've got to get real. We've got to start making things back in America again. We've got to instill the pride that we once had, because if we are not ready, we could be doomed.
Well, thanks for sounding the alarm. It needs to be rung loudly. Congressman, great to see you. Thanks for joining us. Folks, stick with us. We're back after this.
Hi, I'm Joseph Backholm, host of The Outstanding Podcast, inviting you to join me as we discuss the news of the day and the issues that shape us. Christians are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. With that in mind, The Outstanding Podcast takes you behind the headlines to help you understand what happened and why. If you're looking for something informative and casual that will help you see what God is doing in the world, The Outstanding Podcast is for you. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find it at WashingtonStand.com. It's not just another podcast, it's outstanding. We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview. Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clausen, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
All right. Hey, just a reminder for those in the Houston, Texas area, we have our Stand Courageous Men's Conference coming up this Saturday. In fact, tomorrow afternoon, I'll be broadcasting from First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. General Boykin will be joining me, so be sure and tune in for that tomorrow. If you're still interested, there's room. I'll save you a seat at the Stand Courageous Conferences. Go to standcourageous.com to find out more. And by the way, we were just talking about Target and what they've been pursuing with this whole transgender stuff, even having pride clothing for infants. Well, they're feeling the pinch. Their stock downgraded today. And, I really think we should help them out and downgrade it even further. By refusing to shop there. I think if you're going into it, it's an issue of stewardship, all right? I don't really engage in formal boycotts. I just say be good stewards of what God has entrusted with you and don't use it for to go to organizations that are going to use the profits against you. For instance, I was just talking about the vice president of branding at Target is a treasurer at GLSEN, this gay, straight, lesbian alliance, whatever it's called, that where they go into schools and they push these policies, just like what we're seeing argued in the 11th Circuit, taking away the rights of parents, hiding from them their in-school transitioning of their children. So anyway, if you'd like to sign the petition on Target, text the word Target to 67742. That's 67742, the word Target. So that segues right into what we're talking about here when it, in June becomes Pride Month, represents the ultimate month-long holiday celebration for many of the world's largest brands and corporations. They're tripping over themselves to try to be friendly to homosexuality. Well, with Target stock in a free fall and Bud Light sales catering, some corporations may second-guess their typical unabashed enthusiasm for the LGBT indoctrination that they do of customers. As I said yesterday on the program, that sustained opposition may have us approaching a tipping point where brands think twice, while Christians and others not captured by the LGBT agenda take a stand and speak the truth in love. Now, here at the Family Research Council, we're commemorating June by standing for Celebrating Life Month. And I encourage you to join me in doing the same. This is the month that Roe v. Wade was overturned. Let's take the month back. It's Life Month. Well, joining me to discuss this and much more, Dr. Al Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's the author of many books, including Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, The Explosive Power of Jesus' Parables. Dr. Mohler, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Tony, always great to be with you, and wow, is there plenty to talk about.
There is. If I weren't Baptist, I'd pop a top, and we would talk about Bud Light. But we're gonna avoid the first one, and we're just gonna talk about Bud Light, and we're gonna talk about Target. We're gonna talk about these woke corporations, and why this is a defining moment when we talk about morality in this country and who's defining that morality?
Well, you know, those who are trying to bring about a comprehensive change in this society, and you know, I don't think it's inaccurate at all to call them cultural Marxists. They're trying to bring a Marxist-style revolution, understanding that those who control the culture, and that means the companies, the colleges, the you know, the cultural institutions, they're just doing that long march through the institutions that one of their activists called for in the middle of the last century. And yet you would think that at some point, some of these institutions, such as major American corporations, would at least count the cost, because they're still trying to sell Americans stuff. And, you know, Americans aren't buying some of the moral stuff, the revolutionary stuff, they're selling. And so we've reached a really crucial moment. And I like the way you introduced this and in your previous segment, because when you look at Target, when you look at Bud Light, when you look at so many of these companies, they have been doing what they thought was going to lead to cultural, you know, approval. And all of a sudden they discovered that Americans aren't buying what they're selling.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because you just made reference to this, and this is what I believe, that this is different than some of the things we've seen in the past. I do think we're at a tipping point, because I think it's to use a common phrase, a bridge too far. The transgenderism, it's one thing, you know, they were able to push the whole initials, the lesbian, the homosexuals, the gays, you know, that wasn't so much in your face, but this transgender thing, they're seeing their children and grandchildren transformed by this ideology, and it's frightening. And they're saying, wait a minute, something's not right here. And then when you have corporate America jumping on the bandwagon, pushing this, and it's in your face at every turn, it just, I sense this, and I've been doing this for quite some time. This is a different moment.
It is a different moment. And, you know, I've been writing about these issues, trying to defend a Christian worldview and help Christians to understand these issues for, you know, over a generation now, 4 decades. And, you know, the argument's really changed. And it is interesting, because you mentioned a tipping point and how it's changed. You know, back when the LGBTQ movement was beginning, when it was back called the gay rights movement, and they came up with this idea, they're going to tell people, you don't know what I really think. I have an orientation towards sexual attraction to someone of the same sex. You can't tell me I don't. Well, you know, as Christians, we have a way of understanding that in the Christian worldview and understanding the effects of sin. And so, yeah, there are all kinds of sinful patterns. But the gay rights movement just gained an awful lot of traction by saying, you can't tell me what I really am thinking. You can't tell me how my heart's inclined. But, you know, the transgender movement is trying to tell us, you can't tell me if that's a boy or a girl. Or we're going, well, you know, yes, I can. I absolutely can. When they hand that baby off after the delivery, they do not say this is potentially either a male or a female. They say, congratulations, it's a boy, or congratulations, it's a girl. So in other words, we've met a wall there. And as a theologian, I want to say it's the wall of ontology. It is being, it's creation order. But, you know, just the average common person can say, you know, you cannot tell me that that's not a boy or a girl. I know the difference.
In many ways, acquiescence or silence in these earlier years to some of this, by you can't tell me what I'm thinking, we've just been silent when there's morality, and it's not defined by us. God defines, as believers, as followers of Christ, those have a biblical worldview. You know, we don't define morality. God does. It is his moral law. And I think that they've pushed this, and we're at the edge of a cliff. And that's why I think it's a moment. It's not necessarily a moment that I celebrate, because I wish we didn't have to be at this point. I am somewhat encouraged that people still have enough resolve to push back to, as you say, the evidence is quite clear here, male, female. But if we don't get this moment right, I'm not sure what the fallback position is.
Well, and that's what the LGBTQ revolutionaries, and frankly their allies, that's what they're counting on. They're counting on dominating America's public mind to such an extent that, you know, what's absolutely unthinkable on Monday is just, you know, common by Thursday. They're counting on that. And by the way, they have been incredibly successful at this. When you look at the polling data, that's why we as Christians have to remind ourselves, we don't believe in morality by polling data. We believe in morality by the word of God. And, you know, it's going to take Christians saying no to so many of the demands made upon us by the larger culture, and being made upon us just by walking into a department store or being walking in a grocery store now.
It's a
complicated set of moral acts.
Let's talk about that, because that's where the rubber meets the road. Is, all right, how do we as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we live out in these times? You know, we hear, I'm not one given into boycotts. I mean, I just don't think sometimes they're not really successful all the time. I do believe in stewardship. I do not believe we should use our money as that we've been entrusted with by God to fund those things which are counter to the word of God and the truth of God. So I do believe it in that sense. So as Christians, how should we be responding in this moment?
Well, you know, Tony, you raise the complexity of this because, frankly, there are companies that aren't as brazen as Target in their, you know, Pride Month display that have basically the same policies. They also have their corporate people sitting on the mm-hmm. boards of these activist organizations and all the rest. And so it's not easy. It's like, you know, it used to be that Christians would say, you know, that credit card company has taken the stand. I'm going to switch to another credit right. card company. Well, it probably has exactly the same policies. But we're talking about Target because Target put something right in the face of Americans and said, deal with this. And Americans said, OK, we're going to deal with it. American Christians understand that, look, Target's reporting, just as you indicated, Target is reporting a financial injury by the response of consumers. And I have to believe that means millions and millions of Christians who are simply saying, you know, you put that right in our face, we're going to take our business elsewhere. We don't believe that after the fall, there's some pure place we can go, you know, that at least is a major national corporation that I mean, by and large, as you mentioned, boycotts, they're very difficult in the complexity of today's economy. And you and I have been through that war before. But you're exactly right. We're stewards. And so at the very least, you know, these companies that are so aggressive in pushing this agenda, I think there are lots of Christians who know, well, that's the last product I'm going to buy from them.
Well, let me complicate this conversation because in recent days it's become more known that, you know, one of the favorite fast food places of Christians, Chick-fil-A, is wading neck deep into this. I mean, their woke roosters have come home to roost. I mean, they are into the diversity, inclusion, and equity, but this is not new. We've watched this back since 2012 when we helped Mike Huckabee support the Chick-fil-A when they took a stand for marriage, only to watch over the last decade them backing further and further away, even to the point of funding groups that have drag queen reading hours, funded the Southern Poverty Law Center, and cut off all Christian organizations like Salvation Army because their views on marriage were too radical. So what do Christians do in a situation like that?
Well, you say it's complicated, and that's true. And with Chick-fil-A, it's even a little more complicated because you have two different levels. You have Chick-fil-A corporate, but this is unlike Target in that you also have owner-operators at the local level. And so at this point, we know, you know, we've seen the website, some of the things that the corporate national entity is doing. So it'll be interesting to see. There are an awful lot of faithful Christians who are owner-operators of Chick-fil-A's and at the local level. And I've known the founding family for a very long time. I just have to hope that sounder, you know, policies will prevail here. And I think encouragement. I think Christians talking about this, offering encouragement, saying we really are not going to do business with a company that violates, you know, and flaunts its violation of what we believe is Christian morality.
I'm
hopeful. And in the case of Target, I'm not hopeful. In the case of Chick-fil-A, I hope to.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my colleagues here on the Washington Stand wrote about this, that, you know, it's even more offensive when an organization that has prospered off of its Christian holdings right. and drawn in Christians then, you know, walks down the same path, maybe not as bad as Target. I mean, you're not blinded by rainbow flags when you walk in, but it's betrayal, quite frankly.
Yeah, and you know, the question comes down, you know, I hear the logic all the time that we can't do business in this metropolitan area unless we adopt these policies. We can't do business on a broad national scale. And that's where I think we're going to discover that that logic just means eventually you're just the same as Target eventually. You're just the same right. as General Motors or Bank America eventually. And, you know, I think we as Christians need to understand that, for one thing, we can't trade on anything in the past as continuing unless there are continuing affirmations. And I think we need for those continuing affirmations of what is right and true.
Yeah, that is so true. But all in along with that, standing behind those absolute moral truths with how we operate as consumers, in that our affirmation.
You point out how difficult that is, because it's really hard to know unless you're dealing with just one local, it's a hot dog stand. It's right. really hard to know when you walk in these places what their national policies are.
Well, one of the reasons to shop and do business with local vendors, which I try to do as much as possible.
Yeah, well, you're certainly going to know if you sit down in church with the people who are, this is their store, you're going to know who they are. This is really complex. And as you know, and so just to throw a wrench into this, if you're an American taxpayer, one of the horrible things is we are coerced into paying for all kinds of immoral things. And so being in the world but not of it in this kind of situation is just it's incredibly complex. And I think it's why we need to have these conversations.
But when we have knowledge, we're held accountable to the knowledge that we have. And so once these things come to light, we need to take that and I think prayerfully consider, again, stewardship, witness, all of these things. I don't think we should be, confronting people with anger and violence as some have been accused of. I don't think that's happening broadly. But I think we need to be thoughtful believers, exercising our rights as Americans, but more importantly, our stewardship as Christians.
Absolutely. We don't have a choice as to whether we pay our taxes, but we do have a choice about where we buy our socks. And it turns out that these days, that can be a pretty powerful moral question. And so I want to affirm, what you're saying here. We are stewards, and it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And that means that we can't live in willful ignorance of what these companies are putting right in our face.
Yeah.
And as I say, I believe all kinds of people will lie to me, but when they put the pride flag out front, I take them at their word. Yeah, I think we know exactly what that means.
As we should. Dr. Al Mohler, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Glad to be in the fight with you, Tony. Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.